1057 The Fan and the Baltimore Orioles present the Hot Stove Show.
Play ball!
This is the Hot Stove Show on Sports Radio 1057 The Fan. Now, live from Orioles Spring Training in Florida, here's Jim Hunter on the flagship station of the Baltimore Orioles, 1057 The Fan.
The thoughts on Daryl Alvarez now being converted to pitching. How long do you think that process will take? And we know about the arm, and we see what the organization did converting Michael Givens, who also pitched in high school, and there were some scouts looking at him in that draft for pitching as opposed to infield. What are the reports so far? I know it's only been about a week, but and your hopes for what he may turn into?
Well, Daryl was being looked at as a potential pitcher by some other clubs that scouted him in Cuba before we signed him. So he's got some experience as a pitcher. I'm not exactly sure how long it's going to take. We got to give it probably a month, 6 weeks, to see how it's going because he's transitioning. But when I asked him what he used other than his fastball, he's got a great fastball. I mean, he's got one of the better arms of anybody in the minors. He goes cambio y curva. So he already knew he had some other pitches and other weapons to go with his fastball. He's got a changeup and a curve. I thought he was a fastball slider pitcher, but he said no. He said I got a change and a curve.
Well, Dan, we appreciate the time. It's always great to get caught up and a lot of good insight on the team. And I don't know how you're going to pare this team down. You have so many choices here, and they're all getting a lot of good looks and opportunity. But best of luck over the remaining 2 weeks down here, and let's hope for a real good season.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Enjoyed talking with you guys.
Thank you.
That's Dan Duquette, the Orioles Executive Vice President of Baseball Operations. We'll take a break and come back to Ed Smith Stadium. More to come on Hot Stove Baseball on 105.7
The Fan.
The Fan. And we invite you to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Oriole Park at Camden Yards, the ballpark that forever changed baseball. Just pick up a 13-game partial season plan. You can pick from four plan options that provide you with the same great seats to about two games per month for as low as $15 per game. It all amounts to huge savings over the cost of single-game tickets. Now, each plan option does include AL East showdowns against the Yankees and the Red Sox. Plus, you get access to the hottest ticket in Birdland, which, of course, is Orioles opening day. So secure your spot now and save by visiting Orioles.com/season or call 888-848-BIRD. Jim and Rock, we're at Ed Smith Stadium where the Orioles and Phillies are getting set. They'll play here tonight, 6:05 first pitch with Chris Lee on the mound. And, Rock, in listening to Dan Duquette, what really stood out was what he said about the opening day roster isn't necessarily something that he is fixated on. It's how do you get into the postseason and how many players does that take? And the fact that he has now so many different options of players who have options and can go back and forth. If a player needs a rest, you send them down. If a player is underperforming, you send them down. If somebody's hot in the minor leagues, you bring them up. I think they've done a very good job with secondary players, if you will, to come in and add to what they already have, which is a very solid mix.
Right. How many times did I write optionable pieces this spring? That's what they were looking for all winter. That was their goal in here in spring training, and especially with pitchers. I don't even think we realized how many times they were in a bind last season where they didn't have many guys they could send down, and it's like, all right, and if we bring this guy up, he's out of options, and then we're going to have to get him through waves to send him back down. And they were really grateful that Vance Worley did as well as he did eating the innings so that they didn't have to make a move the following day otherwise. But they wanted to be able to get guys that they could go ahead, Nuno, Enoa, Blyer, whomever, that you could go ahead and option and then bring them back up. And now, of course, they have a lot of these guys on minor league deals here, position players. But, yeah, that was very important for them to be able to have more maneuverability because that caused a big problem for them last year. And maybe something a lot of people don't even think about. You're just thinking, hey, we need to improve team speed. We need to be able to get on base more, things like that. It's like, wait a minute, though. They're not going to just use 25 guys this year. So you need to have the depth and you need to have guys that you can shuttle up and down, and that's one of the things that worked against T.J. McFarland because he was out of options and they didn't think he was going to make the club out of spring training. So what do? You put him through waivers, you put him through release waivers, and then they thought they might be able to re-sign him, and then he ended up with the Diamondbacks. But I guess there was a rule that if you release a guy off the 40 – and then re-sign to a minor league deal. You can't bring him back to the majors before May 15th, something like that. And McFarland obviously thought he had a better chance to get up sooner with the Diamondbacks. But that's a big reason why he's not here, because he wasn't an optionable piece. These other guys are.
Well, there are some players that are in this camp that are out of options, which can make pairing down to the final 25 for opening day somewhat difficult in some cases. But, again, if you're going on the premise that the best 25 on opening day going north, that's what you're going to have because that gives you the best chance, then I guess they're not going to be too concerned about that. But, you know, a player like Ryan Flaherty, for instance, he's out of options. So if for some reason he's healthy and maybe doesn't win the utility job, they can't send him down.
Right. I mean,
that's just one player as an example.
Exactly. And there are tough decisions. That's also why sometimes you see deals late in camp then to go ahead and trade a guy who is out of options. But with Flaherty, again, as long as his shoulder's okay, because Buck values his defense so much, his versatility, I would think he's on the club. But then you look at that AAA infield, potentially, let's say, again, a Chris Johnson at third, Paul Janish, who, I mean, you know, he gets compared to J.J. Hardy all the time, which is quite a compliment. And Johnny Giafatella could be at second. You've got Robert Andino that can play anywhere of those three positions, and perhaps Trey Mancini at first, or David Washington, who I keep wanting to call Richard Washington, who was a player at UCLA back in the day, basketball, and if you remember that, NBA. Anyway, it's David Washington. They really like these guys. That's, you know, they like kind of a veteran infield like that, guys you could bring up if you have an injury. You know, you hope that doesn't happen, but just in case. But then in the outfield as well. I mean, I really think Gentry makes his team. But then you've got, you know, Logan Schaefer, he was like one for his first 22, and I was talking to him in his locker and got robbed of a home run in right field during the Phillies game in the eighth inning. And he was kind of, you know, I said, well, you know what happens? And he goes, I've only got one hit, so that kind of hurts. He had two hits the next game. I was waiting for him in his locker the next day to keep that tradition going if he's superstitious. But Buck says Logan Schaefer's playing center field as well as anybody. He really likes him. That's a guy that's kind of flown under the radar. But that's somebody you could have playing center field for you in AAA and then bring him up if you need him. And, you know, the big problem, not having somebody to back up Adam Jones last year when Rickard went down, they got plenty of center field candidates on the
right.
So they must have devoted part of their offseason to that as well.
And Dan did say that the fourth outfielder, defense is what matters first,
right,
not the hitting. But I think what works against Schaefer is he's a left-handed batter. And we're
right.
Here we are again in the scenario of do you have too many left-handed bats or do you need right-handed bats as the options, because then against the left-handed starter, and the Red Sox may have four of those in their rotation by the time
right.
David Price gets healthy, do you want to go with the right-handed bats to have a better chance to face left-handed pitchers?
Right, and we're going to assume that Seth Smith, and you have to say that slowly, Seth
Smith. Oh, yeah, believe
easy me. Easy to write, hard to say. We're going to assume he's going to be healthy, because otherwise maybe one of these left-handed hitters does make the opening day roster if he has to start out on the DL, but we're getting way ahead of ourselves. He only has 11 at-bats, and the hamstrings come along slowly. But you're right. You need to have those two right-handed bats. What I'll ask you, if you talk about fourth outfielder or fifth outfielder, how do you number them if, let's say, Rickard and Gentry both make it? Who's four and who's five?
Well, I think if they both make it, they play when the Orioles face a left-handed starter. One plays right, one plays
right.
Left. Kim and Smith go to the bench.
But who's your fourth outfielder?
Well, I think they're equal. That's
yeah.
what I'm looking at, because I'm looking at a scenario late in games. Orioles have a lead. Smith and Kim start. They both come out. Rickard and Gentry, if they're the two on the team, they
right.
go in and tighten up the defense for the bullpen late in games. So I'm looking at them as equals.
4A, 4B?
Yeah.
There's four, no five.
Hashtag four,
right.
fourth outfielder. But I mean, wouldn't you agree that,
oh, yeah.
that the way they've played down here, they certainly have played their way into the opening day mix. And again, the backup spots, the two are so critical. Somebody's got to be able to play center field, and somebody's got to be able to play shortstop. And, you know, love Paul Janish. I'm a little bit surprised he hasn't been given more looks at second base and third base here
right.
to see if he might be able to be the utility infielder. Not that Ryan Flaherty doesn't have this job. I'm not suggesting
right.
that. But Janish is so good defensively at shortstop. If J.J. Hardy gets the day game after a night game off, that's a pretty good guy to put in there at shortstop.
Right. Although Manny Machado would probably say, hey, I want to play shortstop. But then you would like to have Janish playing third, which he did some last year. But, yeah, he is a plus defender. But, you know, Gentry was the guy that, you know, people have asked me, well, who's one of the big surprises in camp? Somebody that came out of nowhere. And I said, literally, Gentry came out of nowhere. He wasn't here when I got here in Sarasota, and he wasn't a thought at all to any of us. All of a sudden, hey, we got Craig Gentry. And he's healthy again. Those last 2 years, the injuries and the concussion symptoms. I mean, he had a broken left and right hand. That's at one point. Not at the same time, but he broke both of them. So we weren't thinking about Craig Gentry at all. And all of a sudden, he's been one of the real standouts here. And that you just watch him play center field, and he's able to move around. And he's, you know, the speed element, guys who can get on base, maybe steal a base for you, just something else besides looking for the three-run home run. He's been quite a find, but I would have to say he certainly qualifies as the guy who came out of nowhere to me, because I had no idea that he was ever going to be here.
All right, we'll take a break and come back one more segment as we get you set for Maryland in the NCAA tournament. Coming up on 105.7 The Fans, the Terps against Xavier coming up tonight, but more to come from Sarasota on Hot Stove Baseball.
Play ball!
This is the Hot Stove Show on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fans. Now, live from Orioles Spring Training in Florida, here's Jim Hunter on the flagship station of the Baltimore Orioles, 105.7 The Fan.
And welcome back to Ed Smith Stadium, Jim and Rock, as the Orioles and Phillies are getting underway. Chris Lee is on the mound, and he deals, and it's a foul tip on a bunt attempt by the leadoff hitter for the Phillies, who is Hernandez, who is their second baseman. Now, Chris Lee on the mound, he's getting this start, so obviously the Orioles want to look at him in this capacity. He has not yet made a start, although he did have one relief appearance in which he went three innings. And prior to tonight's game, Buck Showalter was asked what he has seen from Chris Lee so far. Well, I guess we don't have that sound, but what you do like about Chris Lee, Buck was alluding to it before the game, Rock. Here he is in the spring. He's 1-0, and he has an ERA of 2.25. So he's doing exactly what you can do, and really all you can do. You go out and you pitch as well as you can and hope they notice.
Right. I mean, he's healthy. That's the biggest thing. He had the, you know, we called it the lat injury, then we called it shoulder, so maybe it was a lat shoulder. I'm not a doctor, Jim. I just play one on the blog and on radio once in a while. But he's healthy, and, you know, he only had the eight appearances at Bowie, hasn't pitched a Triple-A. So it seems like, man, it'd be an awful reach now to put him in a rotation as Tillman's replacement, but he is in the mix. He's one of those five guys that Buck has talked about. And, you know, I've heard people say he's got the best stuff of anybody on the staff. Like, he's just, you know, he's still learning, obviously. He's young, but his stuff is that good. And, you know, it's right now it's fastball 92, but he's got a nice mix, and they like his delivery. They like his attitude, and he's put on about 20 pounds, and that's usually a bad thing, but it was a good thing with him. He was so thin. They needed him to get bigger, to get stronger, and we talked to him, I think, at minicamp about it. He had to kind of change his diet a little bit, maybe eat some things that he wasn't a huge fan of, but it's, like, it's better for me. It was healthier foods, a good way to put on the weight, and he's done that. He needs that for his endurance.
Well, Cesar Hernandez just hit one to the gap. Speaking of outstanding defensive play, Craig Gentry just made a sliding grab to prevent a double, so Hernandez with a leadoff single. Now we have that soundbite. Buck asked prior to today's game, what have you seen from Chris Lee?
Being able to pitch in the strike zone with his fastball, works fast, throws the ball over. Not many people can pitch with their fastball in the strike zone. See a lot of deep swings, balls getting deep on some decent hitters. This will be a good test for him tonight, and guys are starting to rev it up. Guys are playing deeper into the game, and I really wanted to get this look, and, you know, who knows, maybe another one. I think he's starting to grasp a little bit of the breaking balls, too, which would really put him in another level. But stuff-wise, he can pitch here. It's just, you know, we're trying to get a feel whether you're going to be able to trust the other stuff. He's a confident young man. A lot of people don't take the time to get to know him. There's a lot more substance there than initially meets the eye, maybe.
All right, now last year, an injury-shortened season, as Lee at AA Bowie appeared in eight games, made seven starts. Amazing numbers, though. He went 5-0 in an ERA of 2.98, and Buck was asked if that shortened season a year ago might hinder him here trying to make the team this year.
It's something you think about, but he's physically, he's over that, and from all indications, and if you look at his history with innings pitched and stuff, he's a guy that could pitch a lot of innings for a club this year, whether it be here or somewhere else. But you know, there's a lot of things to cross over before we go in that direction. But he's, you know, sometimes that can work in your favor, not having that wear and tear. He's 20 pounds heavier than he was last year this time. He's put on a lot of solid weight. I mean, he's over 200 pounds now. I mean, he's not 6'1", he's 6'4". He's a big boy. He creates a great angle when he pitches, too. I know the guys love playing behind him because he gets it and throws it.
Now, Roman Quinn just hit a hard smash at J.J. Hardy that ate him up and deflected off his shin. So two on with none out as the Phillies and Orioles play here in Sarasota, Ed Smith Stadium, 6:05 first pitch here with Chris Lee on the mound. And, again, that's what you like. He has confidence in his pitches, gets the sign, gets ready to work, and goes to work.
Which reminds me of Wade Miley. We really loved him when his outings. He gets the ball. He's immediately looking for the sign. We wish everybody would do that. You know it had to be tough on Lee last season because the Orioles needed another starter. They wanted a lefty in their rotation. And here's Lee, who, if he had been healthy, he would have been pitching in Baltimore over the summer. There's no doubt. You look at his numbers before the injury and how well he was pitching, and then to not be able to pitch the rest of the season, it had to test his patience, but good for him. He's obviously a pretty mature kid. If he understood, I've just got to take it slow, work, but, you know, don't do anything that's going to jeopardize my career here, and then do the things he needed to do in the off season to get himself ready to compete for a spot, and that includes putting on the extra weight. I wish I was told, hey, put on 20 pounds. I can do it, but no one's told me to do it. So he did everything he had to do. The vision issue, they've corrected that. I guess he's got the prescription goggles, whatever you want to call them. He's remembering to wear them now. Remember the last spring, I think it was, he forgot to bring them to the mound for a game, and Buck took them out. And he's like, oh, he obviously doesn't want to wear them. Now he understands he has to for his own good. So he's growing up before our eyes here.
All right, so Chris Lee making the start here tonight. Our remaining minute here before we send you to Maryland basketball in the NCAA tournament. I want to remind you of the broadcast schedule coming up. The next televised game on Masson comes up on Sunday right here in Sarasota. That's a 1:05 first pitch. The Tigers come over from Lakeland. Our next radio broadcast will be next Tuesday against the Blue Jays right here. And then we're back at it again the following day on Wednesday. That's another 6:05 game. We'll have that on the Orioles radio network. And that game as well is on Masson. And then the Orioles look forward to that Thursday day off as Lee just gets a double play to erase two of the base runners. And that's exactly what Dan Duquette said. He's got that sinking.
He does. Beat a ball to the ground. Hit it so hard he had an error last time. He's not going to make errors on back-to-back plays. That's the guy you want the ball hit to, is J.J. Hardy right there.
Yeah, that ball was a hard smash that ate him up off Roman Quinn's bat. So Chris Lee getting a good look. We're going to see other pitchers here tonight that follow Lee and looking to impress. And tomorrow, Gabriel Ynoa will get the start as the Orioles go, yep, back to Bradenton again as they'll take on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Well, thanks so much for joining us here at Ed Smith Stadium for Rockabacco and Tim Jones. Our thanks to Dan Duquette as well. Jim Hunter saying so long from Ed Smith Stadium. Stay tuned now. Go Terps. It's Maryland against Xavier. NCAA tournament basketball coming your way right now.